The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Morning, Troy Lannis. Welcome into the ESPN FC studio here on ESPN Plus. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Shaka Hinslop, Don Hutchinson, and Stevie Nicol. It was quite the surreal day, wasn't it, yesterday? But of course, news continues to filter through that Christian Eriksen is stable. Much more on that a little later on in the show, but we'll kick things off by taking a look at some of the action from today, starting off at Wembley. England taking on Croatia. A lot of expectation, of course, in London and beyond amongst this England side. It'd be a good start as well. Came out the traps flying. Phil Foden off the post.
Yeah, really good first touch. Just opens his body up. I think this takes a little nick on the way through. And off the inside of the post and steers out. Those are the margins.
And then from the corner, the ball would fall to Calvin Phillips. Strikes us nicely.
Gone. Man of the match. He was absolutely brilliant. And that's one of the hardest techniques when you're on the edge of the box. Take it on the volley. Really, really good hit that.
After a bright start, it got a little lethargic. The game wasn't particularly brilliant. But then Phillips plays it into Sterling, who'd make it 1-0.
Well, it's a great break from Phillips. But what a great, fantastic run from Sterling. Times it to perfection. Keeps himself onside. Nice little ball through there. And just manages to get it past the goalkeeper.
Harry Kane didn't do too much in this game. Shaq had a chance just moments after there.
I think the defender gets there just before Harry Kane. Coming around the back of the defender.
So England then with a 1-0 victory. Alexis Nunes spoke to a couple of players after the game.
Of course, the team selection came out. Everyone becomes the gaffer and everyone tries to make the decisions and felt that maybe, you know, Gareth and everyone was going to be a little too safe and they wanted to see guys set free. But that's exactly kind of what you did. So is that something that we can expect to see from you guys probably going forward?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, the manager, Gareth Southgate, has a lot of confidence in his players. He has a lot of confidence in the team that he picks, and we're here because we work hard. We're here because we're good players. So, you know, we all believe in that, and, you know, together we can form a real good partnership.
Well, thanks to Yorkshire Pirlo is trending on Twitter, the number one trending one. I'm sure Granny Val is up there, super proud. I know she's always proud of you in a Leeds shirt, but what do you think she'd think of tonight in an England shirt?
Oh, she'll be very happy. You know, every game I listen to her songs before the game, and, you know, just try and make her proud, and I know for a fact she'll be happy up there.
England absolutely stacked in the squad. So many options on a personal level. You know, it was good to see you start. How do you feel you did?
No, it was just important. You know, it doesn't matter where I play. If it's left back, right back, I just want to do as well as I can for the team. So I played left back today and, you know, I felt comfortable. Been working on things in training with the manager and the team. But the most important thing is the team. We win today, clean sheet, and still got a lot to improve on with the games coming up. But it's a big 3 points for us.
Well, Alexis Nunes joins us now. Alexis, the first time England and have ever won their opening match in the European Championship. I imagine the response has been very reserved and calm and no one's getting ahead of themselves at all.
Of course, Dan. Come on. These are your people. You know your people. They've been singing It's Coming Home since 10:30 a.m. this morning when I arrived at Wembley, and they're still singing it at the various pubs across the country. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a bunch of sore heads tomorrow. But you know what? Rightfully so, because with a performance like that up against quality opposition, as Calvin Phillips had said in our chat earlier, you know, that's something to be celebrated and get hyped up about. Why not? Because as Gareth Southgate as well said, it just relieves so much tension and a lot of tension and pressure that surprisingly has been haunting this England setup for the last 2 weeks, especially Gareth Southgate. People constantly questioning what his team selection is going to be. And even if we rewind back to when he actually made the team selection, so many people kind of met it with negativity and criticism. I was a bit surprised, you know, people shocked that Kieran Trippier was playing there at left back. They probably thought that Ben Chilwell should have been in there, many wanting Jack Grealish to play for some extra flair and, you know, creativity. They probably didn't have as much faith in the Yorkshire Pirlo that that is Calvin Phillips, who had an outstanding game. I've seen him play, you know, once for Leeds, but he was absolutely on another level today. And it was so nice, of course, talking to him after he recently lost his grandmother. And anybody that's close to the Leeds United family or has seen the documentary or seen any of Calvin Phillips on social media, he's super close to his grandmother. She never missed a Leeds United game, and I'm pretty sure she would be even prouder of him as he showed up big time for England in that England shirt.
The game, obviously, at Wembley, Alexis, the majority of the fans supporting England came out the traps flying, didn't they? Clearly full of adrenaline. But what was interesting was the timing of the goal, because preceding that, you could hear the frustration quite audibly from the crowd.
Yeah, you absolutely could. I mean, I have a producer that's near us, and I'm not going to call his name and shame him on television because he's an English fan as well. And he was saying, you know what, this game is screaming for Jack Grealish to come on. And I was like, well, who are you going to take off then? And he said, take off Raheem Sterling. And I said, what, my boy Raz? Absolutely not. Just have some faith in him. Literally 5 minutes later, beautiful pass from Calvin Phillips, Yorkshire Pirlo, serving it up to Raheem Sterling. And you could just breathe a sigh of relief, because when we were talking about the pressure and the tension that was weighing down on some of the members of the team, including Gareth Southgate, so much was on Raheem Sterling. Basically, all of the headlines were questioning him. And it was funny because even afterwards, when we went to do the flash interviews, one of the other broadcasters that was beside me asked Raheem Sterling if he feels like his performance today pretty much validated his selection in the team. And he rolled his eyes, because it's almost like you're wondering where all this stress is coming from. So I think Gareth Southgate showed exactly why he's the England manager and not the rest of us, and kind of restored faith in all the England fans out there that had so many doubts, surprisingly, coming up today, almost making it seem like the fact that England are so stacked is actually a curse instead of a blessing. But now I think they have proven that it is indeed a blessing, and the country is absolutely buzzing. It almost feels like this was the final, to be honest.
Great stuff, Alexis. Thank you very much. There were some raised eyebrows, weren't they, when we saw the starting 11? In particular, Trippier and Sterling starting. Is that fair, Dom? Is that surprises for you?
Massively. I think, you know, Gareth won the world nil, because we're all looking at that lineup thinking, well, that seemed a little bit unbalanced. Trippier's a right-sided player playing at left-back. He went for Mings, Stones and Walker. I thought he would have went with a three. Then the two number eights, or a six and eight, in Rice and Phillips, who was easily man of the match. Then people were looking for Jadon Sancho, Jack Grealish, but he went with his trusted players. And Raheem Sterling, who's been brilliant for him, popped up with a winner. But it was a real solid performance, I thought.
Raheem Sterling, of course, scoring from like 500 yards from where he grew up, Shane.
Yeah, and what a way to celebrate the first game in the tournament, and delivering on the faith that Gareth Southgate showed you, when you know full well that arguably your back end of your season, particularly for Manchester City, wasn't all that great. And there were questions as to whether Raheem Sterling, because of that, would be or should be included in the starting lineup. But the one thing you can say about Gareth Southgate is he's kept faith with players who've done it for him. He doesn't take into much consideration your club form, and Raheem Sterling responded in the way that Gareth Southgate fully expected him to. So well taken goal.
How excited, Stevie, should England fans be after this victory?
They should be absolutely excited.
Wow, I wasn't expecting that response. Let me tell us to calm down. It's one game. Croatia weren't very good.
Listen, you know, if there's one thing that's wrong with the English fan and the English press, is that they can't wait to jump on everybody for some reason, even when things are good. So leave them alone. Let them enjoy it. And right. The truth of the matter is, there's still an awful lot more this England team. And at the end of the game, I'm trying to think about the actual team that was on the field, and I thought, is this his best team? I don't think it is his best team, but he can put out a side that can take on pretty much any team in this tournament. And then, at his disposal, if he fancies it, he's got people like Bellingham, people like Sancho, Calvert-Lewin, you can bring him on. Mm. I mean, he has got an absolute wealth of talent going forward that showed us glimpses today. Yes, they started well. Yes, they created early doors. Foden hit the post. We didn't see enough of that throughout the 90 minutes.
Right.
But we certainly saw enough that not only should England fans be happy about that, but the opposition should be thinking, hold on a second, I don't fancy playing against this lot.
But this is it. Like, the opening 20 minutes, we saw Foden hit the post, and then that chance for Phillips as well. We thought, wow, England have come out here. But then it was almost as if someone switched the switch.
Yeah.
And everybody just kind of went down a couple of gears, and it was only really that goal that got them going again. What? How do you explain that?
I explain it. It's hard to try and gauge it, and it's hard to try and explain it unless you've been on that pitch, a massive pitch at Wembley, in the boiling hot, and you come out and your adrenaline's there, and that's why you saw England start really well. Mm. Then all of a sudden, you hit a brick wall. You feel hot. You feel as though you've got sea legs. You feel as though I don't want to run out of my position in case I make a mistake. And that's what happened very early on when England started so well because they had chances. Calvin Phillips had a decent shot. As you said, Phil Foden had a decent shot. But the one thing I would say about Gareth, I think he might just be the bravest England manager I've seen in quite a while. Not many managers at the end of a game would have took Phil Foden and Harry Kane off.
Right.
So he'd done the right thing because the result is the most important thing. And he doesn't care if he's got to take his star man, his number nine, off. You know, he doesn't care if he's got to take Phil Foden off. He does what's right. But it was one of them performances where you're watching it unfold, you think, what would I have been like in that scenario? And you think, of course they looked a little bit jaded.
Yeah.
Of course they looked a little bit tired after that initial 20 minutes. Then the second half, they got a second wind. And I thought Calvin Phillips, the reason why he was man of the match, because he was the one that probably drove everyone on. He would make runs from deep. He didn't play as a six. He played as eight. He had energy. And then Jude Bellingham come off the bench. He got a few tackles in. You know, the first 5 minutes he came on, he nailed one or two.
Yeah.
So the performance was strong. But as Stevie said, you know, I think there's one or two more gears for England. So they can get excited because that was a very, very solid performance. But they can do better.
Stevie, how do you manage that?
What you do is you pick and choose when you close the ball. And England came out of the box quickly, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do that for 90 minutes. So you have to, and particularly in a hot day, so you have to choose when you get a break, if that makes any sense.
Right.
And how you can do that is two different ways. Number one, if you're so superior to the opposition that you can just knock the ball around and get your breath back and settle things down whilst you've got possession, then fantastic. Or you can step off and say, you know what, you can have the ball for a little bit, but you're not going to break us down. And we're still going to get our break. And then you change again. Then you've had your break. Now, again, we can go and close the ball down for a spell. As I said, the important thing is you can't do it for 90 minutes. And that's how you...
Why can't you do it for 90 minutes, see, when we see domestic sides do it?
Well, international football, you're always stepping on the field and you're not quite sure of everything the guy next to you is going to do. You know, when you play with your club, you pretty much know three or four guys that are around you, not the whole team. You can make runs because you instinctively know where they're going to put the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can check back because you know exactly what they're trying to do. In international football, you're not quite sure of what your guy next to you is going to do.
It's the mental side of the game as well, isn't it? Because players are not just expending energy in that 90 minutes. It's the days leading up to the game. You're not sleeping the night before.
Right.
You never see a Premier League player or a player playing in Europe go down with cramp in a normal 90-minute game.
Right.
As soon as a cup final comes along, you see players going down for fun. It's the same sort of scenario that, again, you can't really measure. But you see it so many times when a real important game, the mental energy that they've expended days and nights before, because they're so excited, they want to play, they're not sleeping. They're thinking about the game. They're thinking about what they're going to do. They're thinking about the whole thing. The game comes along and sometimes you can feel a little bit shattered. You've seen John Stones at the end of the game. He was down for a good 5 or 10 minutes with cramp.
Yeah.
That's how it affects you.
Don't think he was down for 10 minutes, Dawn.
Felt like 10 minutes. Did I exaggerate that?
Xhaka, from a Croatia point of view, what would have disappointed me the most is that after England opened the scoring, there was no response. Like, even the 85th minute, they had that chance. There's no one in the box, no one giving you any options. It was almost as if they thought, we'll just lose this and win the next two.
Yeah, I was really disappointed with Croatia. Listen, albeit first 20, 25 minutes, rule number one as an away team is soak up pressure, don't give the home team a whole lot to build on. And I thought they did that. And then they started to play, get themselves involved in the game. You saw Modric get on the ball a little bit more, dictate the pace of the game himself. But with all of that, Croatia really didn't create a chance, really didn't test Jordan Pickford. And we have to remind ourselves that we are talking about a team that lost in the World Cup final 3 years ago, albeit a team without Rakitic, without Mandzukic. But Croatia are a decent outfit and yet still didn't really test England in the way that you would hope or you would expect.
Mm.
As I look at this team, I don't see how or where they get better, whereas I feel the exact opposite with England. Despite the disappointments, you get 3 points, and I think this the England team only gets better as this tournament goes.
Brozovic had a poor game. I thought he was poor for Croatia. They looked better, Croatia, when Modric went a little bit deeper and Vlasic came on and Petric came on and he played on the right-hand side. They looked better the deeper Modric got because he was so good, I thought. And he was almost wasted. He was almost on another level at times.
You know, if you look at the stats, the possession stats, Croatia aren't that much further behind England.
Yeah. Mm.
And so when you think of that and you think of the quality that they've got in the middle of the park, you've got to look at the front three. You know, we were talking about how who was going to play up front because Perisic was the only one we thought was nailed on. Well, the other two, not only did they not score goals, but they've got to make themselves available. So people like Modric, even though they have the ball, they've got to be able to... Somebody's got to make a move and get into a position where he can actually give the ball to them. So, you know, if you've got a front three who are pretty dozy, who didn't do an awful lot of moving around, who didn't make any good runs, regardless of the amount of possession you have, you're still not going to score a goal. You could have 90% of the ball, but if you've got three guys up front who are standing watching and not helping you, then you ain't going to get anywhere. And they didn't.
The perfect start then for England sitting top of the group. Of course, Scotland facing Czech Republic tomorrow. Coverage of that match starts at 8:30 on ESPN.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Arguably the game of the tournament so far. Netherlands take on Ukraine. This was goalless, taking it into the second half. Dutch had plenty of chances in the first, couldn't convert it. However, 7 minutes after the break, Wijnaldum would make it 1-0.
Brilliant finish as well. Dumfries down that right-hand side. He was easily their man of the match, but that's not an easy finish, that. You've got to try and compose yourself. The goalkeeper made an error, but Gino Wijnaldum just stuck into the top corner. They were worth their 1-0 lead, Holland.
And then we were watching it, of course, together. Steve said, oh, their goals will never score.
Well, technically it didn't. It came off the goalkeeper's leg. So take that. Right place, right time. There was questions of whether there was any wrongdoing as far as the goalkeeper's vision was concerned. And certainly no offside either, so the goal was given.
Dutch were absolutely cruising, but then out of nowhere, Yarmolenko does this, Shaq.
Yeah, just allowed to come inside on that favoured left foot. I think Stekelenburg gets his positioning slightly wrong. He inches out. And as a result, can't get anywhere near that wonderful finish.
And then, 4 minutes later, this was out of nowhere, wasn't it, Don? It's 2-2.
It was almost like they had a massive wobble. I mean, that's a great
they
header.
They did have a massive wobble.
They did, but it was out of nowhere. It's like a five-minute spell where they just thought, what's happened here? We're cruising in the game. They could have easily been 4 or 5 nil up. And then before you know it, click of the fingers, it's 2-2. It's a great header. And they had to then respond, Holland.
And they did respond. With 5 minutes to go, Dumfries very much the hero, Stevie.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, in the first half, he had a fantastic opportunity with his head. Made an absolute mess of it. Well, boy, did he make up for it with this. Probably the spin is what beats the goalkeeper in the end, along with a little bit of pace, but my goodness, the Dutch needed that goal big time.
The Dutch with a 3-2 win, and boy, did they need this, Stevie, considering we've discussed Frank de Boer and the five at the back and all the pressure he was under going into this tournament. Imagine 2-0 up, and then you let points slip in the manner in which they could have done. That goal from Dumfries, just huge.
You know, him and the team have had a lot of criticism. And I hope that the Dutch don't dwell on the fact that they did lose two goals. They did let a two-goal lead slip. I hope they dwell on the fact that, first and foremost, they had the guts and the determination to come back from losing those two goals to win the game. Mm. But secondly, the way they played throughout the 90 minutes. You know, they've had a wobble for 5 minutes. But let's look at the big picture. If they can go out and pass the ball the way they did, certainly they want to be taking their chances and make the game more comfortable. But if you want to go and watch a game of football, you want to see a team playing like that. So I hope the Dutch don't dwell on the fact that they lost those two goals. Dwell on the fact that they created a lot of chances. And if they can start taking those chances, then it will be a lot more comfortable in the end for them.
Who impressed you in particular for the Dutch today?
Dumfries, I thought, and Van Alden. I thought De Roon had a solid game, but it was... You know, I think when De Boer analyses the game and they look back at it overnight and maybe tomorrow morning when they analyse the game, I think they bury that five-minute spell that they had. I think they try and say, well, look at the start of the game. 7 shots inside 10 minutes. The Ukrainian goalkeeper was pulling off saves left, right and centre. And they could easily have been 4 or 5. I thought Depay had some nice touches as well. They look a threat when they go forward. I think Veghorst is the type of centre forward where you want him, you know, through the width of the 18-yard box. You tell him not to come short and not to go out wide. Stay in the box. When we get wide, we can put crosses in because he's a very good header of the ball and he's physically very strong. But individually, there's some really good performances.
Imagine, Shagger, how much of a fool... If you're Julien Laurent right now, who just said that Haaland have no chance, they need to get rid of De Boer, this isn't going to work.
Yeah, can we call him?
You imagine? Oh, there he is! Jules, how disappointed were you when they got that third?
Oh, no, I don't want them to do badly. But, I mean, why would you change a defence that is working so well like it did after an hour in that game? For me, they lost control of that game for that 10-minute spell, 15-minute spell, because he changed at the back. There was no need to, but they played well. Wijnaldum was fantastic, like Don just said. Memphis Depay as well. I still think this is not a team to play with five at the back. They will be even better in the 4-3-3 formation, but they had to win this game. And that third goal is huge for De Boer. And that pressure that we were mentioning all in the build-up of this game, that now is going to ease up a little bit.
Go on, Stevie, use your line. Do you remember? Here we go.
Yes, I do. You can't win the tournament in the first game, but you can be knocked out of the tournament in the first game.
I'm sure you put it a bit better than that.
It didn't seem as slick.
What?
That didn't seem as slick. You rehearsed that and it was a lot
Shakespeare
more...
Then
you should have told me you were going to ask me.
I remember what you said 5 minutes before we went on air.
Then you gave me a rehearsal.
In rehearsal, it was a lot more slicker. It was slick in rehearsal, wasn't it?
Shaka, you look at this from a Dutch perspective, and as Stevie says so succinctly, you lose this and you are in big trouble. Everybody is piling on. But now they've got one step in the next round.
Yeah, especially the Dutch, to that point, given the pressure that they were all under. Coming into this tournament, all the speculation around De Boer and the plane flying overhead, which we spoke about. They needed to win this, and it almost didn't matter how. If you're Frank De Boer, that's what you're celebrating in the team hotel, in the team talks to come before the next game. But at the same time, you look at the nature of the goals that you can see, the way you just allow Yarmolenko to drift inside, the way you allow Yarmolenko just to run in behind. Those are basic errors for a team as talented as the Dutch cannot afford to be making later on in this tournament. And he has to put that right as a coach. But for now, you celebrate the 3 points because anything less and the pressure would have been simply unbearable.
Meanwhile, of course, the third game today, Australia taking on North Macedonia. Australia.
Did you say Australia?
When did they join Europe?
Wow.
Calmer, that
these
is
were the scenes yesterday in training. God, it's wet in Australia, isn't it?
What a goal. What a goal. What a ball from Sabitzer and Liner at the far post. But you might not see a better assist than this ball. That is drilled. 4 iron stars, to use a golf analogy. Brilliant goal.
10 minutes later, though, North Macedonia get the equaliser. Had to be Pandev, didn't it, Stevie?
Oh, absolutely. Absolute legend. And just enhancing that here. Yes, it's fortunate, but you know what? You still need to take the opportunity when it comes along and not panic, and he doesn't. And he strokes it home with that lovely left peg.
So 1-1. Let's take it into the second half. Good save there,
Sean. Really good save, because he wouldn't have seen this delayed. It's a really good ball in, flat trajectory, good header. and then a great clawing save.
So it looked like the spoils would be shared, but then with 12 minutes to go, Austria retake the lead.
Good young player, Gregoric. Could be one of the stars of the tournament. Nice little gesture as well to Christian Eriksen. Great ball from David Alaba, who moved a little bit further forward in the second half. This young kid's a real player.
And then the victory was sealed late on. Arnautovic with a goal.
Yeah, still got a little ton of pace, goes past the keeper and then slots it home. But still an angry man by the looks of it.
Was it a lot of grab in his face?
How about you smile when you score a goal?
This is just emotions, Stevie.
He's not happy with somebody.
Good result that for Australia.
Very good result for Australia. Impressive. No, it's Austria, Don. They then tie with the Dutch at the top of the table in Group C.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hey, just a reminder, La Liga will be here on ESPN for 8 seasons, kicking off their next campaign. And if you haven't seen it, by the way, check out Martin Einstein's brilliant documentary about the Galactico era at Real Madrid. Speaking of Martin Einstein, let's go to Seville now, shall we, and catch up with him as we're looking ahead to Spain against Sweden, which, of course, is the third game on Monday, 2:30 Eastern on ESPN. Martin, just give us all the latest, because it's been far from the perfect preparation, has it, for the Spanish squad?
Right now in Spain, the situation is getting better, and it's very important for Spain to have the chance in an official match to have 16,000 people at La Cartuja Stadium. But it's true. I mean, preparation has been far from ideal for Luis Enrique. There was also controversy over the squad list, and we have to take into consideration that this is a group with so many new faces, players that they don't have the international experience, they have not won trophies. This is a team that is Luis Enrique is building up. He said today at the press conference, I didn't have the goal to start from scratch, to create a new Spanish generation, but I call the best players. And the best players right now are players that they don't have a pedigree, they don't have the experience of the last Spanish national teams, like 2016 or even in Russia, in the World Cup in 2018. This is the big question mark. Will this Spain that had to remain isolated, they couldn't train regularly, they couldn't go through tactical sessions together, ready? Is the Spain ready for such an important tournament? That's the big question here. There are very good players, skillful players. Spain always have this profile of players, but the problem now is, did they have enough time to prepare the games, to work with the relationship within the group? That's the question here.
Martin, what's the expectation? What will be satisfactory for the Spanish fans? Say, semi-final, that's good. They have succeeded, if you like, in this tournament?
It's difficult to say, Dan, because usually Spain in the past, and we have to realize that 2012 was the last major achievement for Spain. After that, they suffered, they struggled, and they couldn't reach not even quarterfinals in Euros or World Cups. So it's time to give the chance to new blood, to new faces, so they can give it a go, so they can see where is their roof, what's the limit. But there's no so many expectations for this Spanish group. And also because the fan base is divided because of the squad list that Luis Enrique has released, leaving Sergio Ramos out of the squad, not having not even one player from Real Madrid. That's a big blow for, as you know, for a lot of fans that they back up Real Madrid and they don't feel identified with this squad. So it's very important to have a good result tomorrow. It's very important to convince these fans that are not very connected with what this national team has delivered so far.
Thank you very much, Martin. Spain against Sweden, then. Here are your predictions. Stevie, Don and Shaka are all going for victories for the Spanish side.
Hey, no, whoa, Stevie.
Sweden, 1-0.
Oh, is it Sweden? I thought I misread that.
Yeah. What are you not seeing there, Steve?
Wow.
I don't see Spain getting anywhere close.
Goodness
to Sweden,
me. Wow. There you go. Meanwhile, Scotland are going to win.
And by the way, in case you didn't see it.
My eyes.
Scotland are going to win, I've said, okay. Just in case you don't.
All right, okay. Shaka being a little more realistic, not being Scottish, of course, going for a draw. We will be looking back at those games. We'll be live at 5 here on ESPN Plus. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Meanwhile, more news developing on Christian Eriksen today. This is what Morten Boesen, the team doctor, came out and said. It really is quite something. He was gone and we did cardiac resuscitation. It was a cardiac arrest. How close were we to losing Eriksen? I don't know. We got him back after one defibrillator, so that's quite fast. I'm not a cardiologist, so the details I'll leave to the experts at the hospital. Jules is with us. Jules, what a 48 hours this has been for Christian Eriksen, for his family, for the world of football overall.
Just incredible, Dan, really incredible story. We talked a lot about it on the show, of course, yesterday. I think there's maybe someone that we've given credit to a lot of the people who helped saving his life, but I think Simon Kjær, the Denmark captain, who's maybe Christian Eriksen's best friend, certainly the two families are very, very close, who, for me, what he did straight after Eriksen collapsed, the way he came, the way he prevented him from biting his tongue and swallowing his tongue, and then putting him on the right side for then the CPR to be given so quickly. For me, Simon Kjær saved Christian Eriksen's life. More than the CPR, maybe more than the medical staff that was so effective, so great, so quick. But for Simon Kjær to have the thoughts, the efficiency again in what he did, in how he looked after his own teammate like a brother, was just fantastic. We saw him as well, the way he was talking to Christian Eriksen's wife on the touchline as all of this was unfolding, was exceptional. And I think Simon Kjær is an incredible guy, really, even more today on after what happened yesterday.
And of course, that then led to the doctors coming on and as we hear, literally saving.
Yeah, and we spoke about that yesterday, and even now with 24 hours under our belt to it, to reflect on everything that happened yesterday as it unfolded, it just seems all the more incredible. And we spoke about the medical staff, the role that they played. During the course of today, I found myself thinking about the players and what they had to be going through. Mm. Listen, as players, we all go through traumas in our lives in different capacities. And the one thing we have that takes us away from whatever it is we have going on in our personal lives is football. Mm-hmm. It's an escape for us from so much. Yet you have a team or two teams of players where the trauma is happening in your safe space, where you go to escape from everything else that's happening in your life. You look at the players and the wall that they made around Christian Eriksen. And try to put yourself in their shoes. You are protecting prying eyes, but you can hear the medical staff talking about, we can't feel a pulse, mm-hmm. and we need the defibrillator, and he's gone. And you cannot imagine what had to be going through their minds as well. And for them to somehow keep it together in protecting a teammate's privacy, I just find everything about yesterday, just as the pieces come together, just amazes me. We spoke about the doctors. We spoke about the collective sigh of relief that the game breathed when you saw those photos of Christian Eriksen with his head up, at least, on the gurney. And today, now I'm just reflecting on the players, what they dealt with. Going and finishing the game, it's just one of those things that you kind of have to do professionally. But after suffering, after being through that, I continue to applaud every single one of them for the way they reacted.
It was just all-encompassing yesterday, wasn't it? Like, we were driving home, we were talking about it, and then with families afterwards, just discussing the whole scenario.
It was just too much. I was in bits watching it, and I concur with Shaka and Julian about the skipper, Simon Kier. I thought it was incredible the way he handled everything, consoling his girlfriend, the way, as Julian said and Shaka said, the way he was so calm and there was no panic and he'd done the right thing and he'd done the right thing very quickly. And then the emotions a few hours later when the game got played and I read reports that he spoke to his teammates and it unfolds a little bit later on and you read reports today that he's texted his Inter Milan teammates saying, I'm good,
yeah.
You know, I'm feeling well. Then it makes you feel a whole lot better. Because yesterday was quite a brutal watch.
It really was, and it's so weird then to be focusing back on what's happening on the pitch or indeed off it as well. But Jules, looking ahead, of course, France, favourites, to win this title, of course, stacked all over that squad. Yet this Mbappe-Giroud thing has become so public. Why?
It's a good question. I mean, that's what Kylian Mbappe said today in his press conference. He said, usually you keep this in the dressing room. As in saying, like, why did Olivier Giroud say that publicly to the whole world after that friendly match that he played against Bulgaria on Tuesday this week? And I think Mbappe has a point. And Mbappe said he affected me a bit. But this is a life of a dressing room. This is a life of a team. It happens everywhere. Let's move on. We want to focus. This can't disturb us. We want to focus on winning this tournament. I think he's right. But he also has a point. I'm not sure you can publicly go. And even if I think it was maybe more clumsy from Giroud than anything else, and I'm not even sure if it was definitely targeted at Mbappe and such a strong criticism or not. But Mbappe saying, usually, let's keep this within ourselves. Don't go out and publicly come out and criticise someone.
Meanwhile, Jules, not only Mbappe grabbing the headlines for what's going on within the French camp, but his future at PSG as well.
Yes, of course, although we knew there was no way he was going to answer any of our questions on his future. He did say once that he never asked Leonardo, the sporting director, Nasser Al-Khelaifi, the president, or whoever is the coach, what player they should buy. And that's in response of what Nasser Al-Khelaifi said in a previous interview in L'Equipe on Monday, where he said, no one can tell us who to buy and what to do, because one of the reasons why I think Mbappe is still waiting to extend or not his deal in Paris is to see how competitive the team is going to be next season. And we know he wants a competitive team. He wants them to sign big players, great players, to go and win trophies, and especially the Champions League. So in a way, he never really asked, I want that player and Dunn Hutchinson and Stevie Nicol and Chaka Hislop. However, he still said, show me who you're going to buy. Show me if you buy those guys that I would love them, I would love you to buy. And I think it's not exactly what we asked him today, but he made a point of like, I never ask for anyone, but they know who I want, kind of answer.
Jules, before we let you go, what's going on with Kingsley Coman?
He wants more money, Dan. He wants a new deal and he wants more money. He's got 2 years left on his contract and his French agent has teamed up with Pini Zahavi to get a bigger deal at Bayern Munich. The problem is, as we saw with the David Alaba saga and his contract extension, I don't think Bayern Munich right now are ready to just give those huge contracts out. And Coman wants to earn as much as Robert Lewandowski. And I think at Bayern, they're saying, well, you're not really Robert Lewandowski right now, so we don't think that you deserve that kind of money.
Julien Laurent, as always, thank you very much. We're, of course, at the playoff stages of the A-League. Brisbane Roar taking on Adelaide United. 15 minutes into this one, it'd be Adelaide who would take the lead. Djuric with a goal to make it 1-0.
Yeah, it's a really nice finish by Djuric, rather. Simple, good ball to pick him off, good first touch, and then despite the presence of a couple of defenders, finds the bottom corner.
And then just 4 minutes later, Djuric on the break will make it 2-0.
Good turn of pace, isn't it?
Is that me chasing him? What? Or is the guy quick? I can't even make my mind up.
Parsons would make it 2-1. Adelaide, though, hold on to claim victory and to book a place in the next round. Just a reminder then how the bracket sets up in the A-League playoffs. It will be Melbourne City against MacArthur FC. That's on Sunday at 2 a.m. on Plus. Saturday, before that, it's Sydney FC against Adelaide United. That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to Jules, to Shaka, to Don and to Stevie. Shaka's off on holiday now, aren't you, Shaka?
No.
What do you mean, no, you're not? What are you pretending? Well, you're not because you're staying, because Extra Time is next. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweet. Shaka, why are you pretending you're not going on holiday?
No, I just said I wasn't going just then.
Okay.
Yeah.
How are your excitement levels?
Calm.
How would you describe Shaka's commitment to the show today?
Well, on a scale of 1 to 10?
How much are you already
That's not a fair question to these two.
Somebody said, has Shaka checked out?
Right.
Two-thirds, check out. You have to be checked in.
Oh,
that's not at all
fair.
Hey,
that's a good feeling, though, isn't it?
Well,
you do one of those auto-reply emails. People showing off. People showing off, and they're on holiday.
No.
I'm afraid I won't be available until.
I will not be. I will not be. It's a family bonding moment.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
If you could build a team around either Mount or Foden, who would you pick, Don?
Foden.
Why?
Because I think he's a better player. Not by a million miles, but I think he excites me more. I think Mount will do all the work for the manager. I think he's a very good technician, but when I look at Foden, I just see a kid that shines. He's got gold dust in him, and he looks at unbelievable talent.
Stevie, is Trippier better left back than Shaw or Chilwell?
I've got to tell you, I was surprised that Chilwell didn't play.
Right.
I would say no. I think Chilwell's a better left back than Trippier right now. I think he gives the side more balance. I think certainly going down the left hand side, when Chilwell's got in those positions for Chelsea, he's delivered some fantastic balls that Trippier can't do with his left peg down that side.
Right.
He would have to check back and use his right peg, which is not a bad thing. It can be a great weapon, but no, I would have to say Chilwell.
Would Phillips be the perfect Wijnaldum replacement, Stevie?
Wow.
No, I think Phillips, if you were going to replace anybody, Phillips would replace Fabinho.
Right.
You know, Phillips did well today. He broke forward. He did play a great pass to Sterling, but that's not his game. That's not how he plays with Leeds. That's not what he's used to doing. And so that wouldn't be his job if he was to replace anybody in the Liverpool midfield.
If the Scotland squad, Shaka, had Stevie, Craig and Don in their prime, how far would they go in the Euros?
All the way.
Crash out in the group stage.
What?
They'd lose out. They'd be out after one game. What's he saying again, Steve?
Here we go.
Oliver and Bart. Take your time. Take your time.
You can't win it in the first game.
Right.
But you can certainly lose it.
That's it.
There you go.
Better. Thank you all.
Can we put that in the reel? Oh, no. It was nice. Oh, sorry. People trying to make you look like a fool, Steve. Yeah? My wife's knowledge of football... I'm worried already. Could easily rival Don's knowledge of percentages.
Yeah.
And lately, she's a big fan of your show because of one man. Steve Nicol.
Oh.
To make matters worse, she's now pledged her allegiance to Scotland.
Yes.
To annoy me, as I'm an England fan.
You beauty.
Oh, HR are just on the verge here. What do I tell her?
Were you looking at me?
People are trying to get us into trouble.
I don't know.
Oh no, I nearly didn't answer for you though.
Right, no. Have you?
No.
Yo, Don?
You were going to say. Right. Lever? Can you leave her? Is that an option?
You were going to say that.
Why is that your answer for everything, Don?
I wasn't going to say leave her. You were going to say leave her.
That's Don's answer for everything.
Leave her.
You did what?
Right,
I'm leaving.
Let's move on.
I'm out.
Please. No questions, but a request. Maybe it's time to stop using Don, what is the percentage
yes.
count questions. The
brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I think
no.
so.
Yeah,
should we move on?
I think yeah. we can park that. What's the chances so. Of parking
yeah.
it?
No, you're right. You're right.
What's the percentage?
Don, what percentage chance do you give Scotland of beating the mighty England?
50-50.
Really?
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
I'm confident. But it's going to be the small margins, the fine margins. We need to take the lead.
So it's going to be a draw?
No, I'm...
How would you break up the percentages of the three?
I'm going simple. I'm going 50-50.
You like your chances of beating England if you take the lead?
Yeah. We can't...
We're 3-0 at half-time.
No, there's method in my madness. There's method in my madness. If we got one behind, I don't fancy us. If we take the lead, we can hang on.
I like our chances if that happens.
If you take the lead, we can win.
Yeah, but if they take the lead, I don't see a score in two.
If you're winning at full-time, you're going to win.
Yes, basically.
Hammer of the year? What year were you Hammer of the year?
Good question. I don't know. No idea.
What do you mean you don't know?
Well, I don't know. I don't really...
What Hammer of the year? What year?
99.
Shaka knows.
Why? Because he's having himself a little bit.
What do you think of Shaka? You're like big time. Always going on about his Hammer of the year, 99.
That was my first year at West Ham. That's
wow,
why.
What an impression. Set the bar high.
Yep.
Anyway. What's the reason, purpose of the bubble machine?
The what?
The bubble machine.
Forever blowing bubbles. I don't know where that come from.
Right, where does that song come from?
I've no idea where the song come from. It's an age-old song.
Why is it West Ham's song? Right, goodness me. Have you guys come on in added time and played a few seconds or a minute or two?
Absolutely, and it's the worst thing
right.
ever. It's embarrassing.
But you don't get like an appearance bonus or anything
yes,
like that?
Yes, but you get. I've been on once before, twice, loads of times before, where you've run onto the pitch and you've not even touched the ball and the referee's blew the whistle.
Right.
Fuming.
You still get money.
No, you fume because it's like a bit of embarrassment.
Really is?
Fuming. Worst thing ever.
Not worse than getting subbed, is it?
Yes, it's worse than being subbed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
What if you're put on? What if you're subbed on and then subbed off? That's got to be.
Oh, that's the worst ever. That's, right. That's a no-no.
Yeah. I mean, who would do that to a player?
Steve Nicol did that to a player. Time.
Would you like to be sent on with 20 seconds to go and not even touch the ball, not even break sweat?
Depends how much the bonus was.
Well, let's say if you get a grand for
appearance
fee. No, it
doesn't matter, Dan. It doesn't matter. It's embarrassing.
Well, yes, but you're so rich, Don.
No. It's your pride. Your pride is hurt. You run on there in front of 50,000, and you run on. The referee blows the whistle. You've got to turn around and run back off. It's awful.
I would only do it for a decent amount of dough.
Right. How much?
750.
Yeah,
750 cash.
What's your going rate, Steve?
750 cash.
Shaq isn't really happy with goalkeepers, is it? Right.
I've only ever come off the bench once in my career, and I was at half time, so I can't.
Was that because of an injury or bad performance?
Injury.
I played in goal once.
Came off the bench. Stevie.
Have you?
Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Who did you win goal for?
Sheffield United.
Oh, Sheffield United.
Against Ipswich.
How'd you get on?
Drew 1-1.
What was the score when you went in goal?
0-0. No, 1-0 up. 1-0 up.
So you conceded?
Oh. Yeah, but unbeaten.
You cost them 2 points.
Unbeaten?
Yeah.
Where'd you go? 89th minute?
it's not a good one. If you can ever find it, it's horrendous.
Oh, well, have a look at it.
You won't find it.
Well, just talk us through it.
I always played in moulds because I hated wearing studs, metal studs.
Okay.
Because it just hurt my feet.
Right.
So I like to be comfortable.
Okay.
And...
You wore your slippers?
In the 18-yard box, it was a mess because I was obviously never in the 18-yard box because we're middle of the park.
Yes.
So the rest of the pitch was nice and play pepper. All of a sudden, now I'm in goal.
Yes.
With moulds on. Mm. And the 18-yard box is a mess.
Okay.
And it's starting to rain.
Okay.
And I tried to sprint off my line to close someone down and I just fell straight flat on my face. And Morgan tapped in the bottom corner. If you can find it, it's horrendous.
Hey,
I'm not sure you will.
I'm sure someone will find out there. That'd be good.
Awful, Shaq.
I have a look myself when I get home.
Awful.
For Stevie, when Don first came to Liverpool, what young player does he remind you of that has played recently? That's a good question.
Good question.
Aye.
Maybe we should have preempted this question.
No, I need you to help me here.
Don, who would you compare to yourself now? Who would you say I'm a bit like?
I don't know, because I could play anywhere.
Right.
Best.
Not in goal.
You played in the
wasn't the best anywhere, but I could play anywhere.
Right. You played in the middle when you played for this. You played in the middle of the park.
Yeah, but then I went to Everton. I played as a 4. Then when Walter Smith came in, he thought I was a 10. Graham Souness thought I was a right back.
Well, this is...
Peter Reid played me on the right wing.
Right.
It was okay, but not...
Right. You're versatile.
Yeah.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Exactly that, Dan.
That's tough because if you think about it, people don't play with, like... the old-fashioned two in the middle of the park anymore. Like, you know, one sets and one goes, or right. The other one sets and the other one goes. They don't play that way now.
Right. So Don would be extinct in the modern game?
No, he wouldn't be, because he would adapt to the way the game
I'd be your Kieran Trippier. I could play.
All right.
Different positions.
There you go. Perfect.
Reliable.
Reliable.
Dependable.
Exactly. That is it. We are also very reliable and dependable. We'll be back tomorrow. Not Shaq, though. Have a lovely time, Shaq.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Enjoy your break. You'll be watching us every day.
Every single day.
Yeah,
we'll
give you a wave and a quiz.
Please,
as well,
please do. Please.
When you come back.
I'll be prepared.